Hi, this is Pastor Woods. I just looked at the calendar. Can you believe that this weekend is Labor Day weekend? I hope that if you're doing any kind of camping out or traveling or celebrating some way out of the ordinary so that you can enjoy this holiday, I hope you'll be real safe. And I hope that you'll remember that tomorrow is Sunday and maybe you can find some place to go to church. Actually, I would invite you to come to the First Baptist Church on the corner of First Avenue in Buffalo because I'll be preaching there again tomorrow. I'm filling in until I get a full-time pastor, and the service will be at 11 o'clock, and then tomorrow evening, I'm 6 o'clock, I'm leading a Bible study on Revelation. We're going to go over the four horsemen. We're going to go over the breaking of all the seals, and I would encourage you at 6 o'clock to be there because these are things that are very current, and we need to know what's going on in our world today. I want to talk today about the blessings that the prodigal's brother missed. In Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32, and I'm sure all of you know the story of the prodigal son, but how many times do you concentrate on what his brother was doing? Luke 15, 11 through 32. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told him this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and earth, or heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put on it on him. Get a ring and put on his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found.'" Just think how many blessings that we miss because of bad attitudes or hurt feelings or because we were simply in the flesh and not in the right mind. The older brother missed his younger brother's repentance. In Luke chapter 15, 18 through 21, I repeat, he said, "I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And here's the repentance. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. You know, it's beautiful to see someone who has been enslaved by sin to be set free. A lot of us miss blessings because of wrong attitudes. If you let him come to the church, I was told one time, I'm not coming back. A lady told me one time, we had a big guy that came to church, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He would get excited, and he'd start saying, Amen, praise the Lord, preach it. And it was like putting fuel on a fire. Anyhow, this lady got very upset, and she came and she said, if you don't make Timothy stop making so much noise, I'm not coming back. And then she said, choose whether you want me or Timothy. Well, it really wasn't a hard choice. You know, we miss so many blessings because of wrong attitudes and activities. We want to do our own thing and not God's thing, so we stubbornly refuse to obey. I remember when I was just a little kid and my folks took me to an Easter egg hunt that was put on by the telephone company that my dad worked for. And all the little kids were brought in. And I remember my dad was saying, come over here, Billy, come over here. And I was so engrossed in other things, I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't go over there. And because of that, he was standing next to the golden egg. And because I would not listen and not do what he wanted me to do, I missed the golden egg. Some other kid came and picked it up. We miss blessings because of absence. We just thought something else took preference over church. I think you could probably get Thomas way back when to testify how he missed seeing the risen Christ that first time that he appeared to the disciples, and how much he was sorry that he missed it and should have been there with him. The older brother missed his younger brother's request. The younger brother said, make me a hired servant. He wasn't asking to be returned as a top sergeant. He wasn't even certain he still could be counted as part of the family. He'd been beaten down so badly that he couldn't hold his head up. The younger brother had found the least in God's family have it better than the best of the devil's service. You know, Satan is a rough taskmaster, and all he does is he destroys his servants. He will promise you anything. People, Satan will promise fun and satisfaction and wealth or anything that he knows that you want. But all he ever delivers is heartache, death, and destruction because he's a liar, and Jesus said, the father of all liars. Well, the older brother missed his father's reception. Dad had been watching for his boy to come home, and when he saw him, his father ran to meet his wayward son. We always had a kind of a funny joke about the most clumsy man in the New Testament. In the King James Version, it says he ran and fell on his neck. But what that was mean, he ran and hugged him, and what joy he felt. My boy has come home. His father received his son that he'd spent so many sleepless nights worrying about and praying over. His father removed all doubt that he loved him and that he could come back home. Had he known about the song, he would have tied a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. It was, come home, son. We miss you. We love you. You still have a place in the family. Please come back home and make things right. You know, that's what God is calling for you and for me. God's waiting for lost sinners just like that. And I want to say today, if you're away from God, he's waiting for you. He wants you to come home. He wants you to be part of the family. He wants to give you forgiveness of sin. He wants to give you eternal life with him in heaven. He wants to bless your life here. Well, the older brother missed the robe. He should have been seen. You should have seen the rags his brother was wearing when he came home. Sin always leaves us in rags. We think we're going to get such wonderful stuff if we go against God's will. All we ever end up with is rags and sickness and heartache. We used to sing a song in church, the windows of heaven are open. And the verse said, I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe pure and white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. Well, this brother didn't come home with the same arrogant spirit he left with. He was humbled. He was broken. He realized what a horrible mistake he made. He realized that he would be so much better at home with his father and all the blessings than he was out there eating at the pig pen. The older brother would have done well to have seen the remorse and sorrow as his brother repented. You know, repentance isn't just some flippant decision to put my name on the church roll. It's a personal sorrow for my sin and is a personal resolve to turn my life around. And, you know, so many people think, well, all I have to do is come and say some little canned phrase and then all of a sudden my name's written in the book of life. There's a lot more to that. There needs to be remorse for the sin. There needs to be repentance as far as saying, I'm going to quit doing those things. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to be living for Jesus Christ. And one of the things that bothers me, I'm afraid a lot of people that think they're Christians today have not really repented. They just kind of added Jesus to their list of gods as another god. Listen, you're going to have to give Jesus Christ your life, your allegiance, confess your sins to him, and then your name will be in the book of life. Well, the dad said, wear this robe with reverence or respect. The older brother missed the ring, the shoes, honesty and uprightness of his younger brother. This ring was an emblem of his dad's love for this younger son. To wear this ring represents our unity. It didn't give back riches or authority, but it did say he was still part of the family. He still was welcome to be there at home. And then Dad said, wear these shoes. You know, bring him his shoes. There, wear these shoes with uprightness, honor, and dignity. This prodigal son needed to know he hadn't gone so far or sinned so much that he could not find forgiveness and love and acceptance when he came home and repented. Satan may do a number on you, but he can't take you so far away that God cannot bring you back if you want to come home. Satan cannot put something so deep in your heart that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot go deeper to cleanse and change you. People say, well, I've sinned so much and God could never forgive me. No. That's the devil telling you that. The thing is, whatever your sin is, God said if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you've been a sinner and sinned so much, then ask Jesus to forgive you and repent and turn your life around. And I promise you, Jesus will forgive you and make you part of God's family. Well, the older brother missed the reception. What rejoicing that the family was experiencing. All but one member of the family, the mad brother, his attitude squelched some of the joy that Dad was experiencing. The prodigal son wasn't the only boy there with a sin problem. Big brother's nasty, repulsive, non-forgiving spirit was an ugly display of a sinful heart needing to be forgiven and needing to be cleansed. The friends, the neighbors, all were invited to come to this fantastic occasion. And the food was the fatted calf. And I imagine because of such a celebration, there probably was chocolate chip cookies there too, and all the trimmings that go along with a victorious banquet. The older brother missed the rejoicing. He missed the meal. He thought maybe he was hurting his brother's feelings by not showing up, or maybe he was hurting Dad because Dad, he thought, had neglected him. But I'll tell you what, the one person he was missing was or was messing with and that missed the joy was his own self. He missed the meaning of all that was going on. He missed the merrymaking so he could indulge in a pity party and feel sorry for himself and make himself miserable. And what a miserable condition this brother was in. He tried to blame his useless little brother for how he felt, and he tried to blame his thoughtless dad because he'd never given him a banquet like that. But it was his own fault. He had such a raunchy attitude. He needed to pray and ask forgiveness of his father and accept his brother back home again. Worse, he thought he had a right to be mad. You know, Satan is always willing to help you rationalize how you've been slighted and mistreated and how people are just, you know, not appreciating you and neglecting you. Bitterness is an acid that destroys the container. And if you're full of bitterness, it's destroying you. What joy you miss because you harbor bitterness. I remember when, I kind of remember when my dad came home from the Second World War. I was about 3.5 years old. But I remember that Dad missed my early childhood because he was in the Philippines during World War II. And he, when he left, I was 6 months old. When he returned, I was 3.5 years old. And somehow, he blamed me for growing and making him miss so much of my childhood. And he never quite got over being bitter about it. Oh, the joy and excitement that he caused both of us to miss because the fact that he was carrying this anger. In his book, Lee, The Last Years, Charles Braceland Flood wrote that after the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old oak tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. She looked at Lee for a word of condemning the North or at least sympathizing with her loss. After a brief silence, Lee said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. You know, it's better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain, letting bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life." I would say that Lee gave such good advice. Has something been poisoning your life that needs to be torn down and forgotten about? I was thinking about in the Old Testament, King Saul hated David with a purple passion. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine Goliath, the women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Well, this made Saul very angry. "What's this?" he said. "They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king." So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. You know, Saul was very miserable. He spent his time chasing David. David was living kind of a life of Robin Hood and stuff. He tried to kill him. But he was so miserable. And as a result, Saul lost his kingdom. He lost his soul. He ended up going to hell. And he could have very easily, you know, just allowed God to do what God does because God's ways are best. That bitter attitude not only destroys your peace and happiness here, it will also keep you from the joy of heaven. Have you wandered away from God in your attitudes and your actions? Let God help you get back home where you belong. Come back and let God meet you and say, "Welcome home. We are so excited to see you." And it says the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Lord, I just pray that you help each one that's heard this message today to remember that the best ways are God's ways, that the most peace we can ever find is peace with God. And I pray, God, that if there's anything that's tearing them apart with anger or bitterness or remorse, they might turn that to you and let you heal. Because, Lord, not only do you heal the bodies, but you save our souls and heal our spirits. And I pray today, Lord, that people that are listening to this will find the peace that only Jesus Christ can give. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you want to get in touch with me, you know the method. If you want to write a letter, it's Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. If you would like to make a phone call or a text, is 623-845-2741. If you would like to send a Gmail, and sometimes I miss them because I get so many. But my address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. I'm praying for you. I hope you have a very good Labor Day, and I hope you know that if there's anything I can do that would help further your experience with Jesus Christ, it's Him that's going to do it, but I would pray with you. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week.